The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
First guest, and he's here in studio with me. He set himself a mammoth task for 2026. Adam Sweeney is from Dunmore East in County Waterford. He's determined to become the youngest Irish person to climb Mount Everest. He thinks he'll be the youngest Irish person. I like that everywhere I read about you, you say, I think I will be. But you haven't found anyone else who would be younger than you.
No, what I read was 26.
Okay.
Rob Mortal is about 26. But you know, I could be wrong.
And when was that?
Oh, good question. Maybe
could it be
three, four.
Oh, okay.
5 years ago.
So not too long ago.
Yeah, not too recently. I was talking to him and all, and he was kind of giving me a bit of advice. It's kind of cool to catch up with someone.
Okay, cool.
That was doing it.
So Adam's training for that undertaking. He's climbing other huge mountains in the meantime. So he joins me in studio this morning to tell us all. And really, why?
That's the question of the hour, really. Well, to be honest with you, when I was younger, I kind of, you know, I was hard to sit still in school and all that, and I was always like wanting to do stuff. So then for fourth year, I went over to Dubai to work in like an outdoor pursuit centre.
Okay, as your TY?
As a TY, yeah. So I was over there in January, and then we set ourselves a task of kayaking the length of Dubai. First people ever to do it. And then COVID happened. So that didn't happen. Spent all the money and the equipment and all that raging.
Oh, so you never got to kayak?
No, never got.
Got to go to Dubai?
No, I got to Dubai.
Okay.
But the kayak got called off because you couldn't move anywhere over there. Well, same as over here, obviously. So then I came home leaving the kayak still there. I don't know where it is now, like. But I said, right, I'll do something. So I decided I'd cycle around Ireland, but then I was like, sure, I won't just do that. So then I climbed the highest mountain in each county I went through. So all the ones on the coast. And then kind of the love of mountains kind of stemmed from there.
So you cycled around Ireland, and when you were in each county, you climbed its highest mountain.
Yeah, exactly.
So you went
exactly.
to Wexford and climbed Mount Leinster and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly,
okay.
exactly. So kind of did that with my family, which was really nice. Like my mom and my brother, they kind of
came around
and met up, and we did the mountains together.
Okay.
So it was really cool. And then I kind of started doing more mountains, went over to the UK, did the three peaks over there in 24 hours with my brother.
Okay.
Absolutely dead coming home, then I had to do a beach lifeguarding course. Don't know how I passed. And then, I set myself a goal to go over to South America in Argentina.
Okay.
And I did...
This is all during COVID, is it?
No, sorry,
okay.
no. We're
all
past
right.
COVID now.
Okay.
That was only February I went over to Argentina.
All right.
So I went over to do Aconcagua. It's the highest one in South America. It's
mm-hmm.
about just under 7,000 metres. 6962 or something like that. And then I said, right, if I get this, that's when I'll start releasing that. I'll go for the big one. And thankfully I got to the top. And knackered, but we got there. And yeah, it was great. Like, so I loved it. And
so, okay. So, like, you're only 20 now. So,
yeah.
When COVID hit, as you were saying, you're only 16. But before that, are you like, you from a family of sporty people? Or
yeah.
Was it always in your family?
Yeah, yeah. My parents owned Dunmore Ventures. So, like,
okay.
From a young age, like, I remember just being in the water 12 hours a day, coming out for maybe 10 minutes of lunch and then getting straight back in and always running, like would always be doing stuff.
Mm.
So like surrounded by sport, that's kind of like, even when I told my parents I was doing this, they were like, oh, unreal and all this, which is great.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want is them being like, no, I'd hate you to do it.
Uh-huh. Because there is a lot of safety. Like we only last year we saw Spencer Matthews' documentary that he made about his brother, and his brother
yeah.
was the youngest English person to climb Mount Everest, but died on the
yeah.
descent. So it's not like, it's no easy feat. Training wise, it's obviously tough as well, but there are safety elements to climbing Mount Everest too.
Yeah, of course, like there's things out of your control, but you know, as long as I put in the effort now and kind of train, and I'm going over to Nepal and stuff like that to do training before, but just kind of knowing when to stop if you have to stop, because like, of course, you don't, once you get to the top, you're only halfway there. As I say, like a lot of people who do die on the way down. So just kind of knowing when to stop and where to go from there. But sure, look, we'll have to see when it comes, like.
Wow. So you will be 22, am I right in saying
22,
that?
22,
you'll
yeah.
be 22 in 2026.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you're going to take on a lot of challenges, a lot around the world, that you're going to climb some mountains, aren't you?
Yeah. So in November, I'm going to head over to Nepal for a month.
Okay.
I'm doing a mountain called Amitabham. It's just smaller than Aconcagua. But it's kind of more of a tough climb, so more mountaineering, you're climbing up
okay.
and stuff like that. It looks deadly, to be honest with you. And
so
then,
it's a little bit smaller than the one you did in South America.
About 100 metres smaller, but it's definitely tougher, and you're kind of like, you're sleeping on the edge of a mountain and all that, which is really cool.
Okay.
And then next May, I'll be heading over to Alaska. So that's the tallest one in North America. So that's like, I think it's like, yeah, a month, and you're completely like by yourself, which is really cool. So you have to walk in to the mountain and like carry sleds and all that. So really looking forward to that.
So this is the one that even to get to the summit is tough going. It's about 4 days to get to the summit, is it?
Yeah, it's a good one. Well, to walk in, it takes absolutely ages. Like I was talking to people who've done it before and they said that was almost harder than Everest itself. Like, so kind of looking forward to that one anyway.
Is this how people do it when they're training for Everest, or is this something you kind of devised for yourself?
Yeah, well, each kind of have their own training methods. Like I was talking to people and they say, oh, do it this way. Another person says, do it this way. So kind of trying to listen to them as well, but then do your own thing, because kind of do the mountains you want to do as well, because there's no point doing ones just for the sake of taking them off, like.
Okay.
But I will be going over to the Alps and all that to do that stuff.
Okay, just to get the altitude sorted and.
Yeah, so it's quite strange, like when you go up, you're on cloud nine, like you don't know where you are.
Yeah, and explain that to us, how that feels. Is it a dizzy feeling or how does that work?
It's quite hard to explain. It's almost like when you wake up in the morning and you're kind of, you can't really see or something like that. Uh-huh. It's hard to explain, but.
So it affects you physically, like how you're seeing things.
Yeah, and especially, mentally kind of mainly, you're very clogged and all that. But that's kind of the one that I'm going over to these mountains, because I just want to exactly get the altitude up and all that. Because I know physically fit I am, but kind of, obviously Ireland, the highest mountain is only 1,000 metres. Uh-huh. So it's 8,000 and 1,000, there's a bit of gap in there.
Wow.
So
okay,
trying to get all that in.
And while you're here in Ireland, what does your week look like training wise? And like, does it start now? Are you in the middle of training for this climb?
Yeah, so kind of a lot of cardio and all that, and then weightlift and all that. Well, trying to stay fit because I'm kind of I was nursing injury in my knee, so trying to keep that up and all that is kind of the main thing. So a lot of stretch and all that, and then go off, do mountains, maybe do a big long one or do it twice in a day or something. But, you know, it's a bit of fun, like.
Is it?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And then go to bed early.
Okay.
Hopefully.
What's early?
Oh, 10. 10 is very early.
Okay, good stuff. And do you listen to anything while you're on the mountain, or is it all very, you're in your own head?
Sometimes when I'm doing a really long, like maybe I'm out there for 8, 9, 10 hours, I get bored of music, so kind of just listen to your own breath is kind of nice. But a lot of the time, the cringiest music ever is kind of what gets me through it. Like, I won't even say, because I'd be ridiculed. Like,
we're talking pure pop, are we?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Bit of Backstreet Boys.
Oh, the Adele, all that going, like getting in your feels, like.
And like, is this something that you'd like to make into your career? What would you like to do?
Well, yeah, I'm doing business at the moment, so in SETU. So I'm kind of juggling between that and this. And yeah, kind of, I don't know if I like the business too much. So yeah, maybe I'm hoping to go do my hike leader and stuff like that as well. Okay. So we'll see where it goes from here. Like,
yeah.
So hoping maybe to get like a documentary going for it. That's kind of the plan. I've had a few people that have contacted me about it.
Okay.
So that'd be kind of deadly, like.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant.
So we'll have to wait and see, like.
And how are you going to verify this, that you will be the youngest Irish person to climb Mount Everest? Are you just putting the call out there and hoping that no one says, well, I was 19 when I did that?
Well, yeah, I suppose if people could Photoshop on top of it as well, I might do that as well. Like, yeah. But I think if someone didn't say it and did it when they were 19, like, this isn't a huge thing, the youngest, to me. It's kind of what's going to get the name out there.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest with you, like, after this, or even during it, if someone comes up and says, I want to do it, like, I'd be absolutely delighted to have them. Like, because there's no point waiting your whole life to do it. Because you never know, you could walk down the street and something could happen to you. So that's why I kind of said, I'll go for it now.
Grab life by the horns. Are you doing it with anyone? Is anyone going over with you?
So in November, I'm going over with like a crew that is just an all-Irish crew to do this mountain.
Okay.
And they're hoping to do Everest.
Okay.
So I'm going over to see what that's going to be like and all that. And they're kind of hoping to be the first Irish crew to go up Everest.
Wow.
Since Del Fox, I think's the name.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that and that'd be quite embarrassing, but sure luck.
So this crew is going to Alaska with you and then they'll go to Mount Everest?
No, they're going to Nepal in November.
Oh, to Nepal.
And then it's a different crew in Alaska, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Wow, so you're really seeing the world with this plan as well.
Well, that's it, yeah. Beautiful parts of the world. Like when I went over to Argentina, I kind of stayed over there for a while, just traveling around, and that's kind of almost the best part to it. Like, I'm not going over just to see the mountain, going around and experience the culture and all that, because there's a lot more than just Ireland out there.
Yeah, so true. So this is 8,848.86 metres. That is Mount Everest, of course. And it's the highest mountain above sea level. And as you said, if you compare it to Carrigtwohill, that is 8 times the size of Carrigtwohill.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow, fair play to you. Okay, so Adam wants to be the youngest Irish person, we hope, in history to climb Mount Everest. You have a GoFundMe page set up. How will people find that? Have you any socials or anything?
I do, yeah. So Instagram and TikTok's kind of the main ones. It's Adam T. Sweeney.
Okay.
And then it's in my bio and stuff like that. But then if you just look up Adam Sweeney on GoFundMe, you should be able to find there. And any donations on there would be greatly appreciated. Or even spreading the word about it. I'd love to get it out there and hopefully get on a few hikes with some people. So if anyone has any questions or anything, feel free to contact me. I'd love to have a chat or whatever.
Do you have a favourite hike around the southeast in particular?
The southeast favourite hike? Knockmeal Downs, to be honest with you. That was kind of the first one I did on when I went around Ireland. And I was so underprepared, didn't even bring like a jacket. Went up there, went up, got to the top, thought we hit the top. Went down, realised that was not the top.
Oh.
So then we tried to go back up. Fog creeped in. We didn't get to the top. And then eventually the next day we got up. So that's kind of one that has a bit of history.
Okay.
And so I love that one going
up
there.
So that's West Waterford, is that
right? Yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah, good stuff. I think I was on a cycle once and I took the wrong turn and ended up cycling over a bit the Knockmeal Downs.
Oh, yeah.
So bad memories for me.
That is a tough cycle.
That is a tough cycle.
So that's your favourite as well then?
No, not my favourite. My favourite is a small little hill near my hometown in County Wexford called Tara Hill. It's nice and easy, but you're still breaking a bit of a sweat.
Exactly. That's the main thing.
Is that what it's about for you? Is it a mindfulness thing or how do you feel at the top of that mountain? Is it a mental health thing in a way?
Well, when I'm injured, I get really like annoyed just not being able to do stuff.
Mm.
So when I'm on the mountains, it's kind of just that feeling of looking up the mountain saying, right, I can climb to that. You know, kind of feeling of getting there. Like even when I was on the bike, it was like really pushing. I started to enjoy hills. So just kind of all the hills, I'm just like, right, I can go do that. And it's kind of the thought of like, how far can you go? Because I always feel like there's no point sitting there doing nothing when you can go do all this stuff. Well, you can like.
Well, fair play to you. So, Adam, in 2026, have you a month in 2026 that you want to start
this?
Yeah,
so it should be around April.
April.
Hopefully. Okay. I'm super planned, always have been.
Okay. So just under 2 years to climb the highest mountain above sea level in the world. That is Mount Everest. And Adam is from Dunmore East in County Waterford. And if you want to check out his GoFundMe, have a look at his socials. It is Adam
T. Sweeney. Yeah.
Adam T. Sweeney. And you'll find the link to his GoFundMe there as well. And are you putting up your training and stuff like that on your socials?
Yeah, making a few videos and stuff like that. Hopefully they're a bit of crack and a bit of fun. So
good stuff. Well, best of luck with everything.
Thanks
I'm sure
so much.
We'll be talking to you before you set out on that mammoth voyage in just under 2 years' time. Adam, thanks a million for coming
thanks
in
for
this morning.
I appreciate that.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
Hunter detective mystery series. Well, then the brainchild of my next guest might be for you. Pat Gillick is the man behind Mystery Trails, and it's a quirky way to explore towns and cities around Ireland on a themed walking game. There's lots of southeast towns on offer in these self-guided tours, and let's hear more from Pat about them. You're very welcome to the Sunday Grill, Pat.
Okay, Orla, hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for talking to us. I came across this during the week and I'd never heard of this before, and it's just one of those really simple ideas that just works. How did you come up with this?
Yeah, well, it's just as myself and my wife, as parents of four children, we decided that we were looking for ways to entertain our kids from they were small till now that they're big. And we started with scavenger hunts where we hid clues, started around the house, and then we hid them in the local forest and stuff. And then we moved to our local village and our local town, and that's how it began.
So when your kids were small, they're grown up now, this is what you were doing with them?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Well, it's fun and affordable. You know, the price of holidays for families is a very stressful time,
yeah,
and entertain them as well.
And especially with four children as well. And then you started Mystery Trails about 4 years ago. So that was around COVID times, was it?
Yeah, it was just after COVID. So it was during COVID we expanded the idea to our 5K walk, our local walk, to make it more adventurous every day. So I started, me and my wife would do the walk in the morning and hide clues and then write out a bit of a storyline, and the kids would do it afterwards. So
when you say kids, because your kids are grown up, is that right? Were you giving
yes,
them to people from
of,
around
of
the
course.
Area or what would you, were you doing?
Yeah, it was around our local area is correct, yeah.
Tell us about it. How would you explain it? Because it's not intricate at all as a game, but you have three different ways that you can play this, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. So it's a themed walking game, and it's designed to guide you through various towns, cities and villages. And it's an easy to follow navigatable route. All the instructions come in the booklet, and you solve clues along the way, and you discover some of the town's little history and a little bit of mystery. And the themes are start with a captivating story, whether it's a treasure hunt, a Mission Impossible theme, or a detective mystery, a whodunit. And each trail has, some of the trails might focus on local legends or folklore, while others delve into the historical mysteries like treasure hunts. And these themes enhance the story, tell an aspect of our experience.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the lovely thing about it is, like in the past, I've used that app geocaching, for example, but you know, you don't need technology for this. This is a more traditional way of doing treasure hunts and detective mysteries, isn't it?
This is old-fashioned paper and pen stuff. It certainly is.
I love to hear that.
And we have added the dynamic of if you get stuck along the way, that we have a free tech service. So we'll be with you the whole way, whether it's as a detective or a pirate.
So you are on call agent with Mystery Trails.
Yeah, no mystery will go unsolved. If there's a clue missing or a couple of clues missing, there's 21 clues, and we'll keep you on track. We'll solve any clue you need help with, and we'll give you a motive in the end, or we'll crack the case, or we'll help you with your reward for the treasure hunting.
And would you get many texts from people?
Yeah, well, it's how we keep our trails. Every trail has a unique code, and
okay.
It's the only way we have of kind of keeping our trails unique, that they can't be copied, you know. So,
okay, good idea.
Yeah, so you text us with the code, and we'll help you out along the way. Now, after you've done all your hard work walking around for 3 kilometers, you'd like to know whether you're right or wrong. So
all of them, all the different treasure hunts or detective series are about 3 kilometres in length and about 1.5 to 2 hours. Is that right?
They are. We kind of plan it that it's just over, you know, kids get tired, and mm-hmm. some of them, they range from 2 kilometres, 2.5. Some are shorter, some are longer. It depends what we need to find to make the route. But usually an hour, it's just, we kind of gauge it for an hour. Now, I do put down 1.5 hours because they're wheelchair friendly and pet friendly, and you can stop along the way and getting back to the start. So I err on the side of caution for 1.5 hours, but just over an hour, maybe 1.5 hours. Yeah.
And, you know, have a look at mysterytrails.ie and like type in your own county and see what's available there. I just typed in Wexford, for example, and Cortown has its own treasure hunt that you can download the PDF. But you have a story behind every single one of them. So the story for Cortown is that the person who's telling you everything is a cabin boy on board a ship called the Drunken Squid, and himself and the captain buried 10,000 pieces in Cortown village before sailing east. And then there's a treasure hunt to go along that. So you've really thought about the story behind it.
Yeah. So the Captain Rip Ship Off is the villain in that case. So, and we have Waterford and Dungarvan, a fine dining story where Souffle, a food critic and blogger, has been found unresponsive in her camper van. So,
that's one Inspector of your detective
Eaton
mysteries.
Writes on that case.
Oh, you love all the puns.
Yeah, well, it is puntastic. It is absolutely. Lismore Castle has a hypnotic device that's sending the locals doolally, and Callan, the space case. Some strange figures have been found roaming around the village. Cashel, the head on the rock. There's a headless horseman riding around there. Need your help.
And have
to
you
find
enjoyed
his head.
Doing it all? Is it something that's a bit of something that you're passionate about?
Oh, Orla, it's a labour of love. I don't know how I'm getting away with this with my wife. Like, I'm living the dream here. We're travelling the length and breadth of the country, and we're just walking and exploring, and then we write the story, and then we try and lead people around that village. It's so rewarding when someone texts us in. We had a really good time.
Wow.
Like, we've had anyone from 5 to, I say 105, but we've had like elderly couples, how much they enjoy it, Texas. It's so rewarding. Now, we've had an odd person telling us that there was a clue missing here or there, but we have that soft, you know. But we've had so many couples, and basically we haven't got big funding or backing, and it's kind people like yourself that gives us a bit of publicity. They find us and they know it's a good idea.
Oh, well, it's such a lovely idea. And it's a one-off payment, is it? No matter how big your group is, you're just paying a one-off payment.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's one-off. You get a code, you get your trail and a code, and we'll help you. The code will access our free phone service, and away you go.
Wow. And do you have returning customers then, do you find?
Our returning customers is where it's our base. You know, people that do them love them. I have a warning on the end, and I really mean this. I have a warning. They're very addictive. Our trails are very addictive. And I have a Dutch gentleman. I hope he's out there. He's traveling the whole way down the West Coast, and he's coming up the East Coast, and he's downloading four or five at a time. Wow. And heading to these locations. Oh. And he's checking them for me as he goes. So it's great.
That's brilliant. And it's a way to see the country then, really, isn't it? And to use some of the history and knowledge that is there and that you have researched to find out more about these places.
Well, as I said, to piggyback all the local towns and tidy towns and councils and heritage committees and all the work they do, putting up notice boards for... Well, they're for us, they're for the locals to read. And I think people kind of, it takes an American tourist to come over and read a notice board and tell us a little bit of our history. So this idea piggybacks there. I just wanted, if you need to solve a suspect in a murder mystery from a notice board, you'll have to read it. And it's full of sneaky learning like that. It's full of little bits of local history. And every village town has a story to tell.
And do you choose then whether a village or town is more suited to a treasure hunt or a detective series? Or do you kind of make that decision?
Well, I do, because when I have a lot of dates, I use a Mission Impossible, because it's codes, it's numbers.
Ah, okay.
Whereas if I have lots of names, I can use a detective mystery. And then I kind of set them out that treasure hunts were suited to families with small kids.
Yeah,
and
lovely.
Mission Impossibles were suited to teenagers, and then detective mysteries. Now, they're all suitable because the clues vary. Everyone can solve any of them, but... They were kind of geared towards couples away for the weekend.
Oh, that's great. And a couple of hours off your phone as well, which is something that we all could do with, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's, as I said, it's old fashioned. It's paper and pen. Now, you can do them on your phone or your iPad, and you will need a sheet of paper. Mm. Or maybe one of them super Van Dangle phones where you can put an X on the back of the suspects and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Lovely stuff. And you're in Europe now as well. Is that right?
Yes, so we're in Barcelona, Paris, Krakow, Budapest. We have trails. We have 9 or 10 different locations. It's our Irish Detective Abroad series. And if you're going away for the weekend to any of these places, a short break, we have a cool way of exploring. It's easy to follow. Probably a landmark like the Eiffel Tower will get you started, and away you go. And it'll take in from the Eiffel Tower to the Louvre Museum.
Lovely.
Where the Mona Lisa has gone missing. It's a great way of seeing a location for a couple. Or
brilliant stuff. I said at the beginning it's such a simple idea, but really I'm doing you a disservice because you put so much work into it and so much research into all these places. And if you want to have a look, it's mysterytrails.ie, and you'll see the huge amount of places that are available to do treasure hunts or detective series or cracking the code as well, as Pat said, all different levels in there, all different times and mileages in there as well. If you want to check them out, it's mysterytrails.ie. Pat, thank you so much for talking to me this morning, and I hope it continues for years to come and that you get to travel around the world doing these and setting these up for people.
Orla, thanks a million. You're very good.
Thank you so much. That is Pat Gillick. He is the man with his wife behind Mystery Trails, and that is mysterytrails.ie. Only a few weeks left of the summer holidays, so if you're looking for something to do, have a little look at Mystery Trails and see if it suits you.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
It's the Sunday Grill here on Beat 102-103. Movie time, and he spent a decade as Superman in the DCEU. Now Henry Cavill. Brian told me to say it like that, by the way. I wanted to say DC Extended Universe, and he was like, say EU. So if it's wrong, you know who to blame.
Yeah, well, you struggle saying it.
No, I DC Extended Universe.
Yeah, I know.
You think I struggle
when
saying
it? When you're saying
that.
It, well.
This is all becoming too family-like in the studio every Sunday.
We went for food during the other day. We had a little meal and all together.
We did.
Yeah.
We've done that before. Oh, just you and me, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we did. It was lovely.
I was like, I don't remember. Anyway.
Now Henry Cavill turns to the spy action comedy film genre with The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. It was directed by Guy Ritchie. Is it his usual rollicking fast pace or just more of a slow burn? It doesn't look like it. Brian will tell us what he thought. After this, Brian? After this. You did that.
Gus March Phillips, I have a mission I want you to lead. Thank you, Sergeant.
What's the plan?
To neutralize the German U-boats in the North Atlantic.
We're losing the war. Hitler is not playing by the rules, so neither are we.
We both know that I'm not very popular with the administration.
The reason they find you unattractive is the very reason I find you attractive.
If I'm to do this, I'll need my own team. You won't like them. They're all...
No!
Mad.
They'll need to be.
There you go, that is The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. And I said that without stumbling once. Brian just expects me to always be wrong.
Yeah, and most of the time I'm correct. Oh. So this movie, I'm not going to lie, didn't hear anything about it. I was literally just on Prime and it popped up and I was like, this is interesting.
And we need a bit of this in our life because we've had very busy weeks. We've had The Fla, we've had All Together Now. It's time to sit on our sofa and enjoy something from Guy Ritchie. Obviously, we've had The Gentleman to enjoy as well.
Well, that was a while. But he's actually had a couple of movies out since then that haven't been great.
Yeah,
but
that's a bit of Guy Ritchie for you though. You know, he is a bit hit and miss.
But this movie is honestly the most interesting thing about it is the cast.
Okay.
Okay, because there's a lot of people in the cast that are all people rumoured to be James Bond. And this is a movie, this is a spy movie.
Yeah.
About a British operation during World War II.
Yeah.
And one of the commanding officers of all this group of men is Ian Fleming.
Okay.
Who went on to direct the James Bond movies. Well, direct James Bond books.
So you think it's a nod to something?
I think it's these men all could have played James Bond, but they're not going to. So I'm going to put them in a James Bond movie.
Okay. And it's interesting that you say that because I saw the lineup and apart from Henry Cavill, I didn't recognise a name. Should I?
You, I feel like you will, right? So Alan Ritchson is kind of the second in line there. So he was in Umbrella Academy, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe not. No. I am mistaken. So he was actually in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and he was playing Raphael in that. He was in Fast X. He was in Hunger Games. He was in Reacher. An action.
Never saw him before in my life.
Action dude.
And then we have Hero of the Fiennes family. Hero Fiennes Tiffin.
Yeah, who's Ralph Fiennes' uncle who played M in the James Bond movies.
Yes. Oh, I like this.
And he also plays Henry Hayes, who's an Irish man in it.
Okay.
And it's weird. Like it was nice. It's nice just to have Irish representation in anything. Alex Pettifer, who was Alex Rider in Stormbreaker, which was like the young James Bond.
Okay.
Isaac Gonzalez, just great. Do you know what I mean? She's just great in general, not gonna lie.
Don't know her at all.
Then Cary Elwes is he's just in it, but he plays M. Like there's an M in this. Like he's in Saw, he's in The Princess Bride. He plays Wesley in The Princess Bride, so he's like that iconic kind of a thing.
Okay.
Henry Golding, who was my choice to play James Bond.
Oh, I do know that name. Okay.
And then Rory Kinnear, who's been in a few James Bond movies.
Rory Kinnear is in this.
Yeah. So it's like, and he plays Churchill in it.
All right.
And then Freddie Fox, who was another kind of like off the wall person to play kind of James Bond, is playing Ian Fleming.
Okay.
So it's genuinely just a load of people that could be Bond.
So do you think this is a bit of a nod to the Bond kind of nerds or just a coincidence that you've come up with?
I think there's too much to be a coincidence because Guy Ritchie is also someone that's like he should be directing a James Bond movie, but I don't think he will.
So tell me about this. How is Ian Fleming even in this? Where does this all come about?
So Henry Cavill is like the head of a group of like these... It's kind of spies, but they're kind of just a group of lads that seem to be doing missions. It's way more kind of, it's way more casual than like James Bond, because you know James Bond is so kind of uptight and serious and everything's done in a really kind of cool way. They're way more casual, and because they're way more casual, the way they do it is more cool, because they'll kill a lot of people and be like, hey, how you doing? Do you know what I mean? So it's like, hey. it's like casually just killed a lot of people, okay. And then they meet at the door and then they won't open the door because they're messing with their friends. Like,
and know? I was looking for clips this morning and there was a really, you know, the little icon of the photo at the start of YouTube, and it was a really horrible kind of photo of them holding up a body but looking delighted about it.
Yeah, yeah, you know? It's just like it's like a group of lads doing these special missions together, and like they all have their roles, and it's like there's no kind of like there's no like Henry Cavill is the main dude.
Mm.
He's a messer as well. Like he'll go around and he'll be like, oh, like he'll see one of the Nazis like, I really like, that's a really like well-made jacket, I want one of those jackets, and then he'll kill someone. And then he'd look at him.
This is so Guy Ritchie.
And he'd just pick up a jacket and like the hat, and then he'd just be wandering around with like a gun, like casually shooting people.
Okay.
Walking through, like not hiding behind things in a cool way with like a pistol, just walking through the middle of like a Nazi area and okay. Just like shooting a gun.
So Guy Ritchie meets Quentin Tarantino almost.
Yeah, but it's such a casual action movie, and it's, and like there's explosions, there's everything, and there's proper villains in it as well. Obviously, Nazis not good.
Mm-mm.
But there's one Nazi who's like a really bad Nazi, and he's like, it's just I don't know how it comes off as so casual when it's such a serious situation.
I think Guy Ritchie, that's something that Guy Ritchie does quite well.
It's yeah.
Casual, maybe smooth is a better,
and a load of storylines at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know what I was expecting going into it, because I just saw Henry Cavill and I don't even think I saw Henry Golding in it, but it's like, the more I was watching it, the more people popped up, and I was like, he could have been James Bond. Mm-hmm. He could have been James Bond. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
where does Ian Fleming come in this?
So it's literally a case of, they do their first mission, and then the British government brings them in as almost like Churchill brings them in as like a secret group, because he wants this mission done. They want to destroy this U-boat.
Okay.
And which is the submarines.
So this is Ian Fleming, not as the author that he was.
No, it's because he was in the army. Yeah. He was there, and he was behind Operation Mincemeat as
so
well.
So there's no real explanation that he will go on to create this iconic character in his novels.
There's nothing. But like it's kind of like, so these lads aren't going to play James Bond, but instead they're playing the people that James Bond was probably based on.
Okay.
So I just think it's such an interesting concept to a film like, but...
Who is this for?
Oh, I don't know. I liked it. So me, I think it's one of those. It's one of those like dad movies, really, okay. Isn't it? It's like action.
Yeah.
Cool dudes being cool.
Yeah. So you explosions. Can convince your dad or your brothers or someone to watch it tonight with you.
Yeah.
Would I enjoy it, or would I be leaving the room because of all the violence?
Like, it's not graphic violence. It's kind of that James Bond violence where somebody gets shot and they go. Oh. Which obviously you can understand. You can understand, but it's just the sound of it. It's like they go flying in a direction. Do you mean it's like a small bit over the top, small bit theatric, but it's kind of like that genre. Do you mean it's like that spy genre of death? I don't know.
Okay, give it some black puddings for me there.
I'll give it like an 8. It was a fun movie, like, you know.
I genuinely, like I was saying, a
surprise. I didn't hear anything about it, and with the amount of like famous people in it, I thought of, like, I'm surprised it's not as big, honestly.
Okay.
So this is my kind of, maybe I'm just completely missed, maybe, well, I suppose everything lately is Deadpool related. And
well, so true.
So it's just missed out on that hype, but
okay,
worth a watch.
Okay, available on Prime as we speak. I know you usually pick the movies, but can you go see It Ends With Us for us?
You're literally,
Anna, come on.
Literally the second person to say this to me in the last 20 minutes.
You're going to do it, aren't you?
Take
one for the
team.
Well,
I don't know. The kneecap movie's out this weekend.
No. You can go to two movies. You've been well known to do that.
Oh, I know.
Go on. Give it a go.
I'll see. Are you going to go see it?
Yeah. Well, I've spent the last week saying, I've read this book.
And so that means...
No. I watched the trailer and thought, no, I haven't read this book.
No.
So I don't really know what it's about. It's because Colleen Hoover is so massive and people were talking about this book so much that I thought I'd read it.
You know how I am when it comes to movies adapted from books, so they're always so...
Yeah, well,
so...
look, I'm sorry. This is your job. Oh, you just have to go see it, okay? Fine. Blake Lively is in it.
I know, but
beautiful.
Like... But the... Yeah, I don't know.
Love you.
Love you too.
Best ever. 8 black puddings out of 10 for the
Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. If that was not a Guy Ritchie movie, I don't know what is, because he loves his L weird titles, doesn't he? Next week, Brian will be reviewing Blake Lively in It Ends With Us, and I bet you he will come in and just talk about Kneecap.
Yeah.
We will wait and see.
It'll be an unreal double feature, to be fair.
And that'll be it. Gone. That's you. You gone.
Oh, no!
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.